قوة المتين, such a sustainer, such a provider who is absolutely strong, unbreakable. So anywhere else, a person might find that his provisions, maybe in whichever way he's getting it, might fall short, might become depleted. Market might go down, whatever it is, as he might think that is where his sustenance is coming from. But our belief is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-razzaq, that means he will never ever fail his banda and his servant. So he is the one who has provided. Huwa ar-razzaq, yani huwa alladhi khalaqa al-khalaiqa wa khalaqa arzaqahum. That Allah is the one who created the creation and he has also created the rozi. When we were created, Allah already created our rozi, our sustenance. How much we are going to need, how much we are going to use, all known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And accordingly provided. Like when we have a wedding or a function, and we say we're inviting so many people, then we give the order to the caterers, so many people you must provide for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much each servant is going to consume, what his age is going to be, what he's going to like, what he's going to dislike. And according to that, Allah ta'ala provides for us. But my respected friends and brothers, that being the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it such that the rozi is going to be delivered on our door every day. Allah has unburdened us with the responsibility of going to seek and look for that livelihood. And that is not going to be something very, very easy. That is going to be a difficult task. That's one important principle. Seeking rozi is going to be difficult. We, alhamdulillah, need to inculcate that and teach that to our children also. That is not easy out there. It's not going to come from the sky. You know, some people, they fold their arms and they say, Allah is the provider. Of course Allah is the provider. Allah just, we just read the ayat, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There's no creature living on the face of the earth, but its rozi, its sustenance is the responsibility of Allah Ta'ala. But that doesn't mean we must fold our arms and sit back and say, Allah will provide, and we don't make any effort for it. And we say, you know, that falah buzurg, certain saint, he used to just do something like that and the whole tray should come in front of him. You know, the buzurg is a miracle, it's a karamat. We're not buzurgs and we have to go look for it. We say, Isa alayhi salam made dua, Rabbana anzil halina ma'idatam minas sama. Oh Allah, send down from the heavens for us a table that is laid with food. So that was Isa alayhi salam's miracle. So we can't sit with our arms folded and wait for that miracle to happen. We have to go make an effort, and everything in this world needs an effort. Even when it comes to our spiritual development and coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we want to be close to Allah ta'ala, we want to be His chosen servants, we want Allah ta'ala to look down favorably upon us, we have to make an effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ, make an effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ, that we have created man in toil. That means there's always going to be difficulty, there's going to be hardship, there's going to be effort needed from him. So that is the first principle we need to know. And we need to teach our children. We do not depend on anything else. We do not depend upon anyone else. We do not become lazy and lethargic and wait for things to happen. That is not going to happen. So my respected friends and brothers, seeking and searching for that rozi which Allah has placed for us is our responsibility. And there are a great amount of virtues and emphasis mentioned in the hadith as well as in the Quran, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lives of the Sahaba, with regard to searching and going and making an effort for rozi within certain parameters. That's very important. Making effort for halal rozi, that's very important. Because you can get haram rozi very easily out there also. It's left up to us which door we want to take it from. You say, you take it in the front door, it's halal. You take it in the back door, and we know the back door story among those people who are doing back door business. In any other way, it may be acquiring rozi in a haram way, even if there's no door or anything. It's back door. It is something that's got no barakah in it. So my respected friends and brothers, it is a constant effort we have to make, and the ahadith, the practices of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also show us that before he was a Nabi, before Nubuwwat was conferred on him, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do business. He was a trader. He went up to Syria and he was known to be honest and hardworking and very, very intelligent in the way he conducted business. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself says, I used to graze sheep for a few coins in Ajyad. That is just out of Makkah. Now there's big hotels there in that Ajyad area. But there was a grazing place and he says to do that. So what was this? This was an effort, my respected friends and brothers, that he was making. And if you look at the books of fiqh and the books of, you know, Islamic jurisprudence and masail, there are so many laws that are mentioned to us and all based on the sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding how we should earn our livelihood. Once a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and begged something from him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him. And he begged again. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him again. And he begged and he gave him again. And he said on the third and the fourth occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, don't you have anything at home which you are not using maybe? So he had some item, he brought it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go and sell this. And then bring the money. And then after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, now this is a chopper and this is a rope. Now you go and chop wood. And you come now and you sell it. Then the person came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he thanked him that this is the better way for me to earn my rozi and my sustenance instead of coming to ask all the time. So it's not the correct way, my respected friends and brothers, that we just wait and we are, you know, depending and leaning on someone else to provide for us. And mashallah, our children have now matriculated. Many are going to go for further studies. Many are going to work wherever it might be. Rozi is from Allah Ta'ala. Halal rozi is what we earn. But effort has to be made. We have to go. No student sat at home and the matriculants or anybody for that matter and said, I'll pass tomorrow. I am not going to study. Allah will give me success. Or nobody, no farmer just sat at home and said that things will grow, the crops will grow tomorrow. No, he made an effort. So my respected friends and brothers, this is one important principle that we are supposed to actually inculcate. And when a person earns his rozi, he makes himself self-sufficient. And when he has got that, then alhamdulillah, he can walk with a dignified stance. He gives dignity to himself. He gives respectability to himself. And he is now able to take care of himself and of his family, with whatever he has earned. He is able to fulfill the obligations of deen when he is earning. Mashallah, he can give zakat. He can give towards the masajid. He can give towards the madaris. He can give charity. He can do so many things. He can go for his hajj, which is faraz. And he can go for umrah. And he can do so many 101 things, my respected friends and brothers. When he has made that effort and he has acquired that wealth. So there's a lot of benefit in there. And more importantly, he can save his deen. Yes, if a person sometime is stuck with such poverty and such difficulty, he can actually lose his deen. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi, a name we have heard of among our elders, our pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, he makes a statement. He says, with regard to wealth, he says, before, wealth was regarded as something disliked. In other words, earning of wealth, money was regarded as something low. Because at that time, people's lives were so connected to Allah Ta'ala. They were so involved in pleasing Allah Ta'ala and ibadat. So if a person just gave too much attention to this thing, they should say, this guy is a worldly guy. But he says, now, وَأَمَّا الْيَوْمِ now, هُوَ تُرْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Wealth is a shield and a fort of the believer. Further, he says, had it not been for this dinars, لَوْ لَا هَذَا الدَّنَانِيرِ لَتَمَنْدَلَ بِنَا الْمُلُوكِ. The rulers, those that are in authority and power, they would have used us like handkerchiefs and like cloth and like rag. They will use us and dispose of us like toilet paper. You use it, you wipe it, you throw it away. It got no value. But he says that because we are owners of wealth and we possess wealth, they cannot do that on us. And it's really humiliating when a person has nothing and then he's handled by those in authority. They oppress him, they put him through difficulty, they frustrate him. So he says it is a good thing for a believer to have. It does not end there, my respected friends and brothers. He talks on the virtue of possessing. He says, therefore, whoever has got anything of this wealth, then he must make an effort to safeguard it and correct it. In other words, when you've got wealth with you, he says, use it in a proper way. Spend it wisely. Save where you can save. Be thrifty. Invest it. Doesn't mean a whole lot of money came this way and now you go and have a party and 2 weeks all the money is over and gone. No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you have worked hard for that money. You've sweated for it. He said, make an effort for it. Because, he says a very important thing here. He says that it can happen that in this day and age, fi zamanina hadha, in ihtaja, if a person becomes needy, kana awwalu man yabdhulu dinahu, he will be the first person to get rid of his deen. He'll be the first person who will forsake his deen because he is in such a poor condition. It's possible. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kada al-faqru an yakuna kufra. It's very possible that famine or poverty can drive a person towards kufr because of desperation. He can be exposed and is vulnerable to someone who can take advantage of him and make him do such things and reduce him to such actions that will be totally kufr. But because it's a matter of the stomach, because it's a matter of feeding his innocent children, because it's a matter of difficulty, he might just go there. Allah Ta'ala save us, but it has happened. It regularly happens. Some people, they don't want to know about the deen. As long as they know that the income they are getting is big, it is fat, it is heavy, and they can do what they want to with it. So they don't want to know about the Islam and about the deen. So therefore, my respected friends and brothers, we need to impress upon ourselves that this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala opens up the doors of rozi for us, then we make an effort. And really, my brothers, those who make an effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the way for them in various ways. So that is the saying of Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about earning. And he said the best earning with regard to a person, you know, bringing income. He says no one has eaten any food that is much more better than that food which he has eaten with the effort of his own hands. Own hands, making an effort, sweating, going out there, slogging and toiling, and whatever you bring in, that food what you eat is the best, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. We know the famous hadith that once a person came to greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his hands were rough. Probably he was an artisan, probably he was a bricklayer, he was handling things that were very, very rough. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his hand and said, why are your hands so rough? He said, because this is the kind of work that I'm doing. I'm laboring. And that has caused this my hands to become so rough. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed that man's hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed his hands. In other words, in appreciation of the effort this man was making with his hands to bring rozi, my respected friends and brothers. So, there are lots of examples we can give. But the main thing that we need to keep in mind is that when we are out there earning, then make sure that the earning that we have brought in is within the parameters. Many times we give a bayan here on the importance of, you know, akli halal, earning what is halal, eating what is halal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly has emphasized the importance of this. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says in one hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most pleasant thing that a person can enjoy is that what he has earned with his own hands. The most pleasant thing which a person can enjoy is what he has earned. When you are you have used, mashallah, your money, and you are, whatever way you are using the halal way, it gives a person a great amount of pleasure. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and your children are from your earning. Or he says, your children are your earning. In other words, if you earned in a halal way, then the offspring that you are going to issue forth in this world will also be according to the earning. And that goes in a biological way, if you want to talk about it, that whatever food and nourishment we have to consume, that is what makes up our blood, and that is what makes up all the nutrients that is needed for the children that are going to be issued from us in the form of sperm, whatever it is. And finally, if it was halal rozi that we had eaten, the effect of that halal rozi will go as far as that. So that is how it is, my respected friends and brothers. Our children are also our earning, and what kind of children we will have depends on the kind of earning. That's why in one hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very beautiful, gave us a very beautiful example. He says that there will be three people on the day of Qiyamah that on account of them having made an effort for earning rosy, their faces are going to shine like the kalqamar fi laylatil badr, that when the moon is in its full moon, and the night when it is totally bright. That is how these people's faces are going to be shining. The people of the Hashr, the people of Qiyamah are going to wonder, what did these people do? Were they making tahajjud namaz every day of their life and doing a lot of ibadat and whatever it might be? Why are their faces shining so much? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of them is he who, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ تَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا إِسْتِعْفَافًا عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, that whoever earned the dunya in a halal way to save himself from asking others, from saving himself from being a burden on others, stretching his hands out, hoping and expecting from other people. He wanted to give himself that same dignity which we spoke about early on. I will rather earn, I would rather have a little, but I'm not going to go and beg. I will go through this difficulty, I will work hard, it will be less hours, less pay, more hours, less pay. But I am going to work hard so that I don't have to go and throw away my dignity. Such a person, Allah knows about. He'll get his rosy. But my brothers, on the day of Qiyamah, he will have a face that will be shining like the 14th full moon. That's what we must keep in mind. Sometimes it's not easy out there. We need to tell this to our youth, our children. Sometimes you start out there, you can have whatever degree or whatever it might be, whatever job it might be. You're not going to get what you want. But your niyyah is that I don't want to go and be a burden. All of our kids, they know they can fall back on their parents. Parents are not there all the time. The parents' wealth is not there all the time also. Or they feel they can even get from somewhere else. No, my respected friends and brothers, I want to be free from begging and asking and depending on anybody else. Such a person. The second one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he does it وَسَعْيٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, with the niyyah that he wants to make an effort on his children, on his family. That he wants to save his family from difficulty. So we know the father of the house, where he goes and he earns. My children must not have difficulty. They mustn't be stretching their hands out. They mustn't be beggars. They must have everything. And really, it is a great virtue to earn so that they can have a comfortable life. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if that is the niyat of a person, then he'll be the second one whose face will be shining like the 14th full moon. And the third one, we never even thought about it. وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ, that he wants to be kind towards his neighbors. How many of us go and earn so I can get money, so I can help my neighbor? Nothing. Nobody ever thought about that. Especially those neighbors that are poor and they are struggling and we know about it. When we go out and earn and we get our salary, we must say, I'm going to use some of this to help my neighbor. Subhanallah. Nobody ever thought about it. But make our face shine, my respected friends and brothers, on the day of Qiyamah. So the emphasis always has been on this, that we must make an effort for halal rozi and must make an effort. And there are, alhamdulillah, lots of other avenues of, besides, you know, there's a debate among the ulama, what is the best form of livelihood? So most of them go for trade. They say, be a trader, a tajir, because you find a lot of ahadith on tijarat. But there's another one also, alhamdulillah, and that is ziraat. Ziraat means agriculture and farming. We need to get involved. You know, we're so proud, alhamdulillah, in our town from our Muslim schools. We've got so far 4 pupils who have gone to study agriculture and they are doing something. Allah Ta'ala will take them far, inshaAllah, my friends and brothers. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, rahimahullah, he said, agar ziraat nahi to phir khayenge kya? If there is no agriculture, what are people going to eat? So it's a very good form of income also. So we must encourage our children to go and do that. Allah Ta'ala give us, inshaAllah, open our day. And lastly, Allah Ta'ala said, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, that when it comes to acquiring, we must not have these dreams, especially our young people, that I want a lot, quick, the quick buck must come in any way, as long as it comes in. Because when it comes in the haram way, and it comes in abundance, it is filth that has come in abundance. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, though this filth may be very appealing to you. So, you know, the example is that if somebody comes and tells us, I'm going to give you a bottle of essential rose oil with beautiful, you know, you can make beautiful attar, small bottle like that. Or I give you a choice of dumping a whole truckload of filth and muck and excrete and dung in front of your yard. Which one would you like? Which one would you like? So the person who takes for that small little bottle, that's all, it's a small bottle. But the effect of that pure beautiful smell, scent, which is clean and hygiene, is much more better than having a whole pile of muck in front of us. So those who earn and want to earn in this way, bring in haram in this way, do people down, lie, cheat, be deceptive, do whatever, as long as it's a huge mountain, it's a huge mountain of khubth. That's why Allah says, Al-Khabith. And walau ajabaka kathratul khabith. Even if the khabith looks nice to you, it is not good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.